Father God, I thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your love and God, just how you work things out in such a way that leaves your fingerprints all over stuff, Lord, that we can see your hand at work. And so God, I just praise you. I give you honor right now, even before I share this message. I pray, God, that you will move upon our hearts, and that, Lord, that every single one of us would leave here today having had an encounter with you. I pray that you will speak, that you will guide, that you will direct, Lord, that you will encourage, you will inspire, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so it's today's the final installment of the series that we've been on entitled A Higher Level of Faith. This will be part four. So we're reaching the end of our journey in the book of Joshua. There's so many things. I mean, this has been just a 4-week series, but there's just, I mean, we could be in the book of Joshua for such a long time, because there's so many things that we can learn from studying the book of Joshua. Check this out. The book of Joshua is the book of new beginnings. It's the book of new beginnings. It's the book of new beginnings for the people of God, for the nation of Israel. You know, after 40 years of wandering in the desert, in the wilderness, Israel finally gets to claim its inheritance. It gets to enjoy the blessings of the land that God had promised for generations before. That God had prepared the land for them, and now they get to enjoy it. They get to be in it. So it's the book of beginnings. And so the book of Joshua is describing the kind of life that God wants you and me to experience right now. Jesus Christ is our Joshua. Jesus is our Joshua. Jesus wants to lead us into conquest now. He wants to lead us into the inheritance that God has already prepared, the land that God has already prepared and promised in advance for us. So the book of Joshua shows how Christians, how believers today can say goodbye to their old life and enter into the inheritance, the blessing of their new life in Jesus. Joshua, the book of Joshua explains how we confront our enemies and overcome our enemies, and how to claim everything that belongs to us. Warren Wiersbe, a noted theologian, he said this: the victorious Christian life isn't a once-for-all triumph that ends all our problems. Let me say that one more time. The victorious Christian life isn't a once-for-all triumph that ends all our problems. As pictured by Israel in the book of Joshua, the victorious Christian life is a series of conflicts and victories as we defeat one enemy after another and claim more of our inheritance to the glory of God. He said that the victorious Christian life was a series of new beginnings. A series of new beginnings, unquote. The victorious Christian life is a life of faith. It's a life of faith, trusting Jesus, who is our Joshua. the captain of our salvation. So as we finish this series today, I want us to look at some specific things that are threads that run throughout the entire book of Joshua. There's certain things in this book that happen over and over and over again. There's a clear message that the book of Joshua is meant to show us, to teach us. For some of you, these are things that you've heard before, and so my hope is that they will go deeper in your hearts. For others of you, they may be new. But in any case, I believe if you're wanting to live a victorious life, you will need to know these things. And you will need to own these things that I bring up. All right, so the first one, it's in your notes there. The first thing you need to understand and that needs to go deep, deep, deep in your heart is that God always keeps his promises. God always, let me hear you say always.
Always.
God always keeps his promises. There's never a time that God doesn't keep his promise to anyone. In the book of Joshua, towards the end of his life, after the end of this time period where Israel has gone into the new land and now they have really been victorious throughout, and now all of the land belongs to them. In Joshua chapter 21, starting at verse 43, it says, "So the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their forefathers, and they took possession of it and settled there. The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their forefathers. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord handed all their enemies over to them. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Everyone was fulfilled." Every single promise that God had given the nation of Israel, going all the way back to the book of Genesis, was fulfilled. Joshua 23, verse 14, at the end of Joshua's life, he says, "Now I'm about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed." Can you imagine Joshua saying this to a nation of like 2 million people? And he says, "You know, every single one of you knows. Every promise that God gave you has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. And there's nothing any of them could say because it was all true. Because God always keeps his promises." Now, here's the caveat to that. Sometimes those promises happen later than we would like. Sometimes we even miss those promises because we get impatient. This is also in your notes. God's promises are connected to his timing. God's promises are always connected to his timing, not our timing, but his timing. Because God's never late. He's never early either. But he's never late. Now, this is really important, because I want you guys to remember this over the next month when we're cracking the whip and you guys are working really hard. Right? When we're working, when we're sweating, when we're up against it, just remember, He's never late. Yeah. Never early, but he's never late. Okay? His promises are connected to his timing. So the second big thing I want you to see, it's in your notes also. You can write this down. God enables his people to succeed if they will trust and obey him. God enables his people to succeed if they will trust and obey him. Here's a trick question. Who here doesn't want to be successful? I didn't fool anybody on that one. Everybody here wants to be successful. God will enable you. He will empower you to be successful if you will trust him and if you will obey him. And a very important part of that will involve moving into the unknown. That should be in your notes also. Moving into the unknown. The book of Joshua is a story of over and over and over and over again, they would have to move into the unknown. The operative word there is move. It's move. Because that means you have to leave what's comfortable.
Yeah.
You have to leave what's comfortable. And so when you read the book of Joshua, which I encourage you to do, you see over and over and over again that they didn't just sit and you know, eat and smoke cigarettes while God did fought all the battles for them, right? Over and over again, you see the word march. They marched to this place, and they fought this battle, and then they won. And then they had to build. They built their cities, built their towns, built their farms. There was action. There was movement all the way through. They were never just sitting and being comfortable. There was always a sense of, okay, as we're marching into this unknown place, what's God going to do? What's going to happen? But that's part of, if you truly want to be victorious in your life with God, there's going to be elements, a big time, of moving into the unknown. Man, I've been a Christian a little over 30 years now. I've moved a lot. I've moved into unknown situations. It's part of my life. And every time we would move into some new thing, when Luann and I, you know, were first married and God spoke, we were in Texas and God said, you know, I want you to go to Los Angeles and start a whole nother life and you know, go forth there. Brianna was 8 months old. We rented a U-Haul truck. I didn't have a job. We drove across country. We found a place to live. The rent was incredible compared to where we came from. It's three times higher than what we were paying in Texas. Did I mention I didn't have a job? And my wife is still with me. It's amazing. And then God says, I want you and Luann to go into the ministry. So we move, so we start coming to Auburn, which I'd never heard of. And we're flying. We're commuting by Southwest Airlines every Saturday to help start a church We'd fly up on Friday, spend the night at somebody, some stranger's house here in Auburn. I'd never heard of Auburn. And then we would do church, started at the Holiday Inn. We're in the Holiday Inn ballroom, you know, Luann's on keyboards, I'm playing bass, we've got a drum machine playing, you know. We got 15 people, we're just like, yeah, okay, God. And then after church, somebody would drive us back to the airport and we'd fly back to LA. We did that for 6 months. If you want to live a victorious life, it's going to involve moving into the unknown, trusting that God's going to take care of you, that God knows what he's doing, moving from what's comfortable. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. This is a pattern throughout Scripture that we trust and obey. God enables his people to succeed if they will trust and obey him. So now, for the past 3 weeks, we've looked at three kind of major stories, major events in the book of Joshua. And there are some practical things that I think that I just want you to just write down, just to remember as far as the things that we've covered that are so important if you want to live a victorious life. Number one is that it requires being strong and courageous. The book of Joshua begins with God saying to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. How can you move into the unknown without being strong and courageous? So that's an important thing that we need to understand. The second one is that you need to understand that the battle is the Lord's.
Yes, it is.
The battle is the Lord's, and we overcome by faith. So often we get stuck in thinking that the battle is ours. I'm up against it. There's nobody but me. I'm all alone in this. No, you're not. Because ultimately, if you're a believer, the battle belongs to God. It's his battle. It's not our battle, but we have to overcome that battle by our faith, our trust in the Lord. And then the third thing is that we need to understand how to overcome temptation. And we spent a Sunday focused on that. Understanding how to overcome temptation. Okay, so today, I just want to touch on a couple other things. At the end of the book of Joshua, in chapter 24, Joshua's at the end of his life. And at the end of the book of Joshua, coinciding with, you know, the end of his life, is really marks the end of what historians refer to as the golden age of Israel. This time, this new beginning of them moving into the new land, conquering, building cities, all that they did, this was like a glorious period of time for the nation of Israel. So the end of Joshua's life, he's 110 years old, and he gathers the whole nation to talk to them one last time. Joshua 24, beginning at verse 14, is what I want us to look at. He says to them, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our parents up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in this land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." What a powerful moment for Joshua to say to them. As part of the last thing that he's going to say to these people, serve the Lord, serve the Lord. You know, that word serve comes up over and over and over and over again. In fact, from verses 14 till 24, the word serve or serving is listed 13 times. You think he's trying to make a point? Serve. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. That word serve in the Hebrew, in that situation, in that context, means to love the Lord. To love the Lord. To fix your heart on him. It means to obey the Lord because you trust him and you love him. It's not a word that speaks of obligation. It's not that you would obey God because you have to, or because people tell you that you need to, or that if you don't, something bad's going to happen to you. It means to obey God because you love him and you really, really trust him. I trust you, God, so I'll do this. I'll go here. I'll help here. Whatever it is that God wants, I'll move here. Whatever it is that God wants, I'll do it because I trust you and I believe that you know what's best for me, that something good is going to happen because of you know what's going on. It's a love that comes from trust. Let me ask you, is this where you're heading with God? Are you heading in the direction of, you know, I'm trusting God, I'm believing God, I'm trusting him, and I'm willing to do whatever God wants me to do because I trust him. I love him and I trust him and I know that he's gonna take care of me. I know that he knows what's best for me. Is that where you're heading? Do your friends know that's where you're heading? So Joshua expresses this to the people. And then there's a challenge that he gives to them. Because the challenge that he gives to them makes it clear that there has to be a decision. There has to be a choice. That there would have to be loyalty towards the Lord. They would have to choose who their, you know, where their allegiance would be. It couldn't be, you know, God couldn't be part of their life. God would have to be their God. Yes. There wouldn't be no hedging. No, yeah. I'm on Sunday. I'm with God all the way. God's great on Sunday. And then on Wednesday or Friday night, oh, you know, I, you know, he'll understand, you know. So if they were going to truly serve the Lord, they would have to get rid of any false gods that they were believing in, trusting in, serving, or secretly worshiping. Because evidently, this was still an issue for Israel. There were still false gods, idols, things of that nature from all the way back to Egypt that they were still in possession of and still dabbling in, messing around with. I want you guys to write this down, because this is something that's really, really important. Before God leads you into something, he has to lead you out of something.
Yes.
Before God can lead you into something, he's got to first lead you out of something. Again, this is a thread throughout Scripture. It's a pattern that we see throughout the Bible. Out of Egypt, into the promised land. Out of darkness, into the light. Out of slavery, into freedom. Out of death, into life. Before God can lead you into something, he has to first lead you out of something. Is there something that God needs to lead you out of right now before he can lead you into the victory, into the blessing that God has for you? That means you're going to have to let something go. Some pattern, some thing, whatever it could be anything. But before he'll lead you into something, he has to lead you out of it. And this is what Joshua was trying to express to the people as on his deathbed, basically. Is there anything that you need to get rid of so that God can continue to bless and continue to give you victory in your life? Because if you don't, you're going to stay in that, and it's eventually going to catch up to you. And you're going to miss out on all the blessing that God has for you. See, this is the thing. God always keeps his promises. He enables his people to succeed if they trust and obey him. You have all the blessing of God in your hands right now. Everything that God wants to do for you is right available to you now. But it's up to you. It's up to you. It's up to me whether I get to claim that or not. There's a famous story that every time I read it, it's just such a powerful picture to me. There's a man by the name of Danny Simpson. He was 24 years old. I believe this happened in Canada back in the 90s. 24 years old, Danny, he was sentenced to 6 years in prison because he robbed a bank. And he stole $6,000. You know, he robbed a bank, got $6,000, got arrested, convicted, and was sentenced to 6 years in prison. The gun that he used for the robbery was a .45 caliber Colt semi-automatic. It turned out that .45 caliber Colt semi-automatic was built in 1918. It was an antique that was worth $100,000. He had 100 grand in his hand. He robs a bank for six. That is such a picture I need you guys to hear me. That is a picture of so many Christians today. You've got everything. The power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is right there in your grasp. And yet, we're searching for stuff. I want to be happy. I want this. I want that. And God's like, it's right there. I've already given it to you. I already died for you so that you could have everything. Read the book of Joshua and see what happened when they trusted and obeyed God. Yes. They got everything. Yes. You know, I was reading through some of the chapters even this morning in Joshua. It's amazing, and this is so cool with what's going on with our church. But it says that for a lot of the cities that were given to Israel from the in the new land, they didn't have to build them.
Right.
God was like, turnkey. You want a vineyard? Here's a vineyard. It's already been created for you. Just move in and start enjoying. Start eating. Start right. Drinking. It's already here for you. I've already prepared it for you.
Yeah.
This is the thread that runs through every story, every situation in the book of Joshua. I really encourage you to read it. God always keeps his promises and he enables his people to succeed if they'll trust and obey him. So here's the thing. The more I trust and obey God, the more my faith grows. And the more I experience the blessing of God. The more I trust and obey God, the more my faith grows, and the more blessing I experience. The more blessing I experience, the more I trust and obey God, and my faith grows, and I experience more of God's blessing, which then causes me to trust and obey God more, and my faith grows more. And I experience God's blessing more. And then I trust God and obey God more. And my faith grows. You see how this works? I'm telling you guys. Trust and obey God. It's good.
Yes.
It's good. There's amazing, amazing, amazing things. You may be tempted to believe some other thing. You may get sidetracked. You may get deceived. You may get tricked. You may get duped. Whatever. Just go back. Just go back to trusting and obeying God. It's not complicated. It's really simple. In fact, it's so simple that it confuses people. Just trust and obey God. Your faith will grow. And when that happens, you'll experience God's blessings even more. Will you guys bow your heads? Lord God, I just pray now that you will seal your word in our hearts. I thank you, Lord, that your desire was to truly encourage us, to inspire, to strengthen us today. And so, God, I pray that every single one of us would really be thinking about your word throughout this week. With every head bowed, I want to ask you if you're here, and if you've not established a relationship with Jesus Christ, you've not put yourself in that position of asking Jesus to come into your life and become your Lord, your Savior, your leader, your King. If you haven't done that, I want to encourage you that today is the day. Today's the day to make that decision. Today's the day to establish that relationship. And so if you're here today, and if you've not done that, and you desire to do that for the first time, or even if it's a time of rededicating your life to Jesus, if that's you, would you just lift your hand? I just want to lead you in a very simple prayer to start this new beginning for you. Is there anyone here wanting to make that decision? With every head bowed, I want to ask you, are you at the place in your life where you really truly want to trust and obey God more? That you want your faith to increase? You want to experience all the blessing that God has for you? You don't want to sabotage your life any longer? You don't want to shortchange yourself? You don't want to miss out on everything that God has for you? But you desire and you're willing to trust and obey God more? If that's you, would you just lift your hand as well? Amen. 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 I just want to give you guys a moment just between you and God, that I want to give you the opportunity just in the quietness of this time for you to express that to God. Lord God, I thank you that all over this room, Lord, that there are people that are expressing their desire, their love for you, their desire to trust you, to obey you. And so, God, I just ask that you will meet every single one right where they're at, God, that you will encourage, you will strengthen, God, that you will even release blessing in their lives, Lord. That you will speak and you will guide them. You will bless them. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we give God praise?